What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
On Mondays at 11 o'clock, just after 11, we talk to our guy, independent news creator on Substack, YouTube, and Newsphere, also contributes to News Nation. It is Chris Saliza. He's got a daily newsletter called So What, and you should subscribe to that. Chris joins us now on KMOX. How's it going, Chris?
Hey, guys.
Hey, good to have you. So we are waiting for this huge meeting that is happening today with President Trump, Volodymyr Zelensky, and other leaders in Europe. So what is your take from, it hasn't happened yet, but what do we expect today after the president met with Putin last week?
Golly, I wish I knew, to be totally honest. To be a fly in the wall of that room with basically every major leader of Europe, Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky. Look, I think that this is an attempt by the European leaders, all of whom have sort of moved their schedules around very rapidly to make sure they are in Washington today, to avoid what we all saw happen in February, the last time Zelensky and Trump were in Washington together, where Trump and his vice president, J.D. Vance, sort of ganged up on Zelensky. Trump, you know, was clearly annoyed. Vance said, "Why don't you say thank you for everything we've done?" Trump told Zelensky he didn't have any of the cards. You know, I think European leaders understand that a deal that makes Vladimir Putin very happy is not only bad for Ukraine, that's obvious, but is also bad for sort of the broader security of Europe. And I think that there is a very, there's a high awareness of that fact. And I think that's why they're all there, is to try to make sure that this doesn't descend into what we saw in February, and to make sure that Trump, who certainly has sounded a lot more pro-Putin coming out of that meeting, that summit on Friday, than he was going into it, that Trump doesn't just accede to everything that Vladimir Putin wants. I mean, it's hugely high stakes, although I'm not convinced that if we're looking for there's a deal or there's not a deal, I'm not convinced we get that out of this meeting today. But I think it is an attempt to kind of reel Donald Trump back in by these European leaders and Zelensky, obviously.
Is this meeting, does it happen like this with all of these European leaders if the meeting with Putin doesn't go the way it went? Because from what I've read, it seems like this was slapped together very quickly and it is highly unusual.
I don't think it does. I mean, look, I think... just remember, going into that meeting, Donald Trump basically says he Putin has to agree to a ceasefire, or I'll be very angry, and there will be, in the words of Donald Trump, quote unquote, severe consequences if there isn't one. Well, he leaves the meeting with no deliverables, right? I mean, that press conference wasn't a press conference; they didn't take any questions, and there was nothing announced. And he says, "Well, we're not going to actually do a ceasefire now. We just need to go to a peace deal, which is what Putin is advocating for in theory, and there won't be any consequences." And I think if you look at that and you're the head of Britain or you're the head of Germany or the head of France, certainly if you're Volodymyr Zelensky, you look at that and say, this isn't great. And then you look on True Social on Sunday night and Donald Trump is saying Ukraine could make a deal very easily. They just have to pledge to never try to get into NATO and they have to cede some of their land to Russia. Well, I mean, that's very much what Vladimir Putin wants and not at all what Vladimir Zelensky wants. So I think that is all concerning. And I think the rapidity, Chris, of which this meeting came together, look, these people are busy. They are running countries. The fact that they were like, change everything on my schedule, I'm going to fly to Washington for a meeting with Trump, speaks to the gravity and the level of concern I think they have.
I want to get to some of the demands from Vladimir Putin. But before I do, just talking about the meeting in Alaska, Chris, I mean, this is a war criminal. and an autocrat from a geopolitical adversary meeting on U.S. soil, not neutral ground. And as Fox News, I was watching the Fox News coverage of it, said Putin came in on a red carpet and steamrolled Donald Trump. That was the Fox News reporter. Well, it seems that Putin steamrolled Trump. Now, I think we're all here rooting for a ceasefire. I mean, I want Trump to be able to figure out some kind of peace because you don't want this conflict to continue. But can you tell me, what do you think there's significance to the fact that Putin was here on U.S. soil and seemed to take charge?
I mean, the optics of these things really do matter, Amy. You know, I'm always hesitant. People always say, you're reading too much into it. It's a good thing that they met. And I, look, if a deal comes out of this that does, and as you said, does lead to less or no people being killed in this war, that is a good thing. That said, I think what the shape of that deal looks like does matter. It matters because, remember, this was a war of Russian aggression, right? It's been going on for 3+ years, so it's easy to lose this. But look, Russia invaded Ukraine. I mean, it's as simple as that. And so what it looks like coming out, what is the shape of a deal, if there is a deal, does matter. And I think that Vladimir Putin understands this. And I also think he understands the optics of it. He understands the kind of the shaking of hands, you know, with Donald Trump, the walking on the red carpet, the getting into the U.S. presidential limousine together, Putin speaking first at the, I'm not going to call it a press conference, at the, you know, where they spoke to reporters afterward. Trump speaking very briefly, Trump taking no questions, which he almost never does. And then what's happened in the ensuing 72 hours, all of that is good for Vladimir Putin and bad for Volodymyr Zelensky. I mean, I don't think that that means that the final deal will be a bad thing. We don't know if there's going to be a final deal, and we certainly don't know the parameters of it. But I don't know how you look back at the past 72 hours and think that isn't – that if it's a zero-sum game between the U.S., Ukraine, and Russia, it's been very good for Russia and what Vladimir Putin wants, no question.
And I do think, too, the United States should be prepared for this because – Putin steamrolls. That's what he does. I think when he met with Obama at a summit or something, he spoke for 48 minutes before Obama said anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't a surprise. We know who Putin is, but yeah, a lot of the demands, as you mentioned, were so Moscow friendly. Putin wants Ukraine demilitarized. Russia said it would cease its persecution of Ukrainian language speakers in exchange for official status for the Russian language in all of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Putin wants 2,550 square miles of Ukrainian turf. He wants the West to recognize Crimea as Russian. He wants the Russian Orthodox Church.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Church to operate freely in Ukraine, and that, of course, is just a Kremlin offshoot. I mean, this is really Putin getting his way.
Well, and look, I think if he gets all of those things, there's no question that it's a very pro-Russia agreement. I don't want to prejudge it before we know. But you're right. There's no question about that. And, you know, look, a lot of this stuff is kind of the public relations war. How does it play? How does it look? And right now, you know, look, Donald Trump, the knock on Donald Trump vis-a-vis Russia has always been he's too friendly. He's too trusting. He likes Putin because Putin has kind of a iron grip on his country, and Trump is drawn to that. He's drawn to people who are, you know, who are strong and tough, which is how he praised Putin in the interview with Sean Hannity after the summit. I think that I want to know what comes out of this meeting in Washington on Monday afternoon. if Trump comes out and he's clearly annoyed and he thinks that he was being lectured, well, then I think we're in a different place. If he comes out and says, look, you know, we're still supportive of Ukraine, and this deal isn't a deal that they're going to accept, and I'm going to put some economic sanctions, as he had said he would do, economic sanctions on Russia unless and until they come to the table in a more sort of equitable way. Okay, well, that's a different conversation. But as of right now, yeah, I mean, I think it's been a very good last 72 to 96 hours for the Russians. And given Donald Trump's past with Russia and his willingness to praise Putin, and I'm reminded of Helsinki, Finland in 2018 when Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin met privately, and then Trump came out and he was asked whether Russia meddled in the election, which, by the way, five different investigations by the United States, including one led by Republicans in the Senate Intelligence Committee, have concluded that Russia did actively meddle. He said, well, he says he didn't, and I take his word for it. I mean, like, you know, there's history here, and the history matters, and I think the history is concerning, and I think, to Chris's point, that's why you saw basically every major European leader be like, I'm getting on a plane and I am flying over there.
So today, Chris, domestically, as we look ahead to the midterms next year, we got the news that Newsmax, the news outlet, who was sued by Dominion Voting Systems, the electronic voting machines, for, you know, basically saying they were tampered with or fraudulent or, mm-hmm. you know, they screwed up the vote count. Well, they were sued and they have settled out of court because they did wrongdoing, and I think we all know that. And the president also today on Truth Social saying before the midterms he wants to get rid of all mail-in voting and yep. all of the voting machines. So what's your thought on this? Because that seems like a just chaos that's about to ensue if he tries to do this.
Yeah, so on the Newsmax front, like, this is like Fox News. I mean, they realized that they were potentially going to face a massive financial judgment against them. So they settled at a lesser value because they knew they were in the wrong and would probably lose. So that to me is easy. I wish everyone would just acknowledge, like, yeah, just blaming Dominion or these places, that was not the issue in the election. On the mail-in balloting thing, you know, it's so hard because I never know how much to take what Donald Trump says on Truth Social seriously. He says so many things, some of which he follows through on, some of which he doesn't. I don't know what a ban on mail-in balloting would look like. I will remind people, in case they don't remember, mail-in balloting was a thing that was led by Republicans in states because their voters, at that time suburban voters, were more inclined to take advantage of that sort of voting. It is switched, and now Democrats tend to lead in mail-in voting, and Republicans lead in same-day voting. But, you know, like, I would assume there would have to be an exemption for the military, right? I mean, if you're stationed abroad, you certainly can't vote in person. How would that work? So it's a lot of things he puts on Truth Social are half-baked. I don't ever know totally how seriously to take them. I don't know how seriously he takes them. And so I guess I'm in wait-and-see mode on that. And I don't know if by executive order you can do that. I will remind people the 10th Amendment establishes states' rights. And typically, states have been in charge of how they conduct their elections, not the federal government. And I will also remind people that the Republican Party has always been that we need to let the states take the lead on sort of setting their own policies rather than having this big, you know, overarching federal government telling them how to do things. So, I mean, there's just so much going on here. I never know how much has he thought this through and how much political capital is he willing to expend on it. And I don't know how you know that at this point.
Chris Ciliza, we love talking to you every Monday just after 11 o'clock, and we will be watching on YouTube and News Nation, Substack. You've got the daily newsletter called So What, and we want people to subscribe to that. Thanks for talking with us again.
Of course. Take good care.
Chris Ciliza joins us here on KMOX. Again, every Monday, we talk to him just after the 11 o'clock news. It's Chris and Amy, and we're glad you're with us today. Do you know what's this week?
Oh, my gosh, I do.
What?
Burgers.
Yes. St. Louis Burger Week.
It is.
It's happening this week. So yeah. Coming up at 11:30, Mike Johnson of Sugar Fire and High Point Drive-In will be in studio with us. We'll talk to Liz Huff, who is the Vice President of Business Development with St. Louis Mag. We're going to talk about Burger Week. It's a big week. We're excited.
And keep listening to us because we're also giving away Blues tickets.
Yeah, we'll tell you when you can win those tickets, but you got to be listening for your chance to win on 104.1 FM KMOX.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.